Let's pray. Father, we do not cease to give thanks for our church, for our friends, for our brothers and sisters, making mention of them in our prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. Thank You, Lord, for power and authority. Thank You, Lord, that we are engineering our lives in obedience to You, God. Lord, our lives reflect what You have done, God. Whatever faults, whatever changes need to take place, it's because we've not followed You like we should. So, Lord, we make adjustments this morning in Jesus' name. God, we thank You for Your wisdom and Your knowledge that You give to us, God. Lord, that You would grant us, according to the riches of Your glory, to be strengthened with might through Your Spirit in our inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, come on, church, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that we may be filled with all Your fullness, dear God. Lord, fill us with all Your fullness this morning, God, in the name of Jesus. God, do what You always wanted to do in us. Do what You always wanted to do through us. In Jesus' precious name. Thank You, Lord. Got your Bibles? Lift them up this morning. Grab your Bibles. Lift them up. Come on. Grab your Bibles. Lift them up. This is My Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess, my heart is alert, my heart is receptive, I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. I will never be the same. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank God for His Word this morning. Thank God for His Word that sets free. Thank God for His Word that sets us on a path of victory. This morning I want to talk to you. The title of my message this morning is Obtaining the Promises of God. It occurred to me that the church is very good at maintaining. New Life has been very good at maintaining. But maintaining is not going to get the job done. We need to obtain. To obtain. To get the promises of God and walk in them. Those of you who have been with me for 6 years or less, some less, we've been being trained. Now it's time to walk in what we know. Come on, someone. Go from maintaining to obtaining. To maintain, Webster's 1865 edition dictionary says, to maintain is to hold, preserve, or keep in any particular state or condition. To hold or keep, not to lose or surrender. And we become very adept at that. I dare say the church in America has become adept at maintaining. To obtain, though, is to gain possession, to acquire, not to be given to, but exerting to get possession. Moses brought the nation of Israel out. It's interesting, just mentioned. Brad and I didn't talk, but we talked about Moses bringing the children of Israel out, and Joshua took them in to possess what was given them by the Creator. Genesis chapter 13 and 15, God said to Moses, or to Abraham, "For all the land that you see, I will give to you and to your offspring forever." Canaan was promised, and all of its territories were promised to Abraham. And realized generations later, 490 years later, they realized the promise of God. What was given was possessed. And if it's not possessed, it lies dormant until someone comes to possess it. God saw to it that the land was maintained for 430 years until Israel was prepared to take possession. 1 Peter says, we've gained a possession, an inheritance that's imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for us. The authority God has given you and I must be obtained. It's been spoken. He's given us the authority, but you and I must walk in it. In His wisdom, God has waited until now for His command to go forth. Rule in the midst of your enemies. It's time for the church to rule. It's time for the church to stand up and go from maintenance to obtaining. Maintaining is not what we have been called to. Our very nature is to obtain. We are our Father's children. We have something within us, something that's not, that's unresting. It causes people to go from church to church. It causes people to complain. We begin to complain about things because we've not obtained. Once you obtain, there is peace that passes all understanding. Once you obtain, there's a power and authority that you have never walked in before, and it's time for the church to realize that obtaining. We are called to strive for and to exert our faith to the point of ownership. Obtaining the promises. This generation was taught well about maintaining. But while we were holding the status quo, the enemy has crept in. And you know, maintenance is just elementary. It's just what we do. But it was never meant to be our directive. In fact, God said He'd take care of maintenance. God said, don't worry about these things. I'm maintaining that, all that for you. But yet we spend most of our lives maintaining. When I think about maintaining, I think about my wife. If we have guests over, most of you know I complain about that because everything in the house has to be cleaned. Even places nobody has ever been but Terry and I. It has to be cleaned just in case you are there. Not a dust mite. Not a dust mite. Nothing out of place. I find things weeks later that's been shoved into a drawer because we don't want to leave it set out for fear that somebody might see that we actually have papers laying around. And I find that I have to obtain because after I've cleaned something, her eyes look upon that clean place and it's not clean. Has to be done again. And usually it goes like something like this. Busy yourself with something else. I'll take care of this. But God promised that He would take care of the maintenance. And any viable government will supply the basics. Even on earth, any government will say, we'll supply, we'll allow the food to be grown and the stores to be stocked and the things to be taken care of and the shelters to be built. To maintain any sort of government, those basics, food, clothing, and shelter must be taken care of. If you're to have any kind of an army, any kind of an organization, those basics must be taken care of. And so Jesus got those simple things out of the way. He said to His disciples, I send you forth to build a kingdom. But here's what I'll take care of. Matthew 6. Turn in your Bibles. Matthew 6. We live in a We live in an environment where there seems to be, we never have enough, or we're never quite there, or we've got to have all these warnings, or we've got to take all these pills, and we've got to have all these sicknesses, we've got to have all these diseases. God said, I'll take care of all that. You walk in healing, you walk in authority, you walk in, because I've taken care of all the things that you need. I'm building a government. I will build my government, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We think about the church as some place with altars and statues and crosses. No, the church is God's government on the earth. He said He would supply all those things. Matthew 6:25. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? We falsely believe and have been taught to name and claim that we forget we are promised to live in His fullness. Name and claim what? All of those things are promised for me because I'm a child of God. Come on, somebody. Walk in the promises of God. Time to grow up. Time to put big boy pants on. All those things are taken care of. So by default, the church has learned to maintain day after day, month after month, year after year. And then suddenly we wake up and complain because the enemy, because nature abhors a vacuum, the enemy has come in and established himself in places he never should have been established. In our educational system, in our entertainment system, even in our foods. Because we've not obtained. It's been right there for us. God's made a way for us. But our part has not been done. We've not obtained. We just maintain what's here. Just barely eking by. Us four and no more attitudes. But that was never meant for the kingdom of God. God's promise to us is the same as it was for Israel. When He spoke to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, He said, every place that the sole of your foot will tread, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave or forsake you. Jesus said the self same thing. Watch, in Matthew 28, Jesus came and said to them in verse 18, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore. Why? Because we're walking in the authority of Jesus Christ. He said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. God is not a man that He should lie. You, my friend, are promised victory. You, my friend, are walking in it. The challenge is to walk in it. They did not obtain the promise because of one thing. The nation of Israel did never realize the full promise because of one thing, and it was disobedience. It wasn't because of the enemy. It wasn't because of the desert. It wasn't because of the mountain. It wasn't because of the golden calf. It was because of disobedience. We find ourselves living in a selfish, self-centered generation, you and I. Generation, gimme, gimme, my name is Jimmy, I'll take all you can give me. Want everything right at our fingertips. But you and I are separate from that, divided from that. You and I are ones that were called to walk in the promises of God. We don't ask God for more, He's already going to give it to us. He'll give us all that we need pertaining to life and godliness. All of it. It's ours. Come on, somebody. Turn to somebody and say, I got everything I need. We live in a selfish, self-centered generation. And it's bled into the church to where the church is no different than the world, except we go to a building a couple days a week, a couple hours a week. Come on, somebody. We're no different than the world. We say things that we have our own language that we speak. Oh, praise God. Welcome, brother. I'll pray for you. But our lives are no different. It's time. The winds of change are here. It's time to go from maintaining to obtaining. According to the World Health Organization, 5.4 million people have a drug-related illness in the United States. Abortion, infanticide, murder, euthanasia threaten the very foundations of this great nation. No longer a maintenance. That's been abandoned for self-rights. Actually, saw a woman speaking in front of a large crowd, thanking Jesus for her successful abortion. We've lost our minds. Our collective minds have been blown. And now it's time for a generation to stand up. It's time for the Davids to come on the battlefield and say, we can win. No matter how big Goliath has been allowed to get, his days are numbered. Come on, somebody. To obtain is to bring pleasure to heaven. From 1972 to 2014, mainline church attendance has fallen from 28% of the adult population to 12.2%. Maintenance for those denominations has been stolen by obtaining not God's promises, but man's favor. We're so after the favor of a fallen world that we forget that favor with God is victory. We're not looking for man's approval. We're looking for God's approval. This week alone, 100 to 200 churches will close. This week in America. Because we went from obtaining to maintaining. This culture is being grasped by those that cannot obtain what God has promised, ruling and reigning with Him. Why? Because they've not accepted Him. Because they've made another God. They've made another religion. What does this mean? Corporately, it means the church in this generation has lost its spiritual voice, having traded it for a relevant gospel. It's time to get our voice back as a church. It's time to stand and declare once again that God is the ruler of the universe, that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's time to declare that. Corporately, we must. Our very spiritual life depends on it. All over the face of the globe, the church needs to declare that Jesus is Lord. And there's an awakening taking place. There's something welling up inside. You can almost see it. It's imperceptible. But you can almost hear it and see it. The church coming to a place of discomfort saying, we're not going to put up with this anymore. We're going to declare the righteousness of God. We're not going to lose this generation of millennials. Yeah. Revival is coming to the millennials. I declare today that revival is coming to our young people. Our schools will experience a great wind of God's Spirit. Our schools will experience the presence of Almighty God. Nationally, the church in America has allowed the law of the land to reflect hell and not heaven. The law of the land now reflects hell, not heaven. We actually have people celebrating infanticide. Even after a baby is born, it can be killed if the doctor and the mother agree. For any reason at all, no medical reason, for no reason at all, they can just say, well, the baby's born, it's a couple hours old, I don't want it, kill it. We've allowed this to happen. It's at the church's door that this kind of thing has happened. It's at my door. I must take personal responsibility. Locally, what does that mean? We have allowed the enemy to rock us to sleep. We live by a calendar here in the Midwest. Well, yes, we'll do that, but that's not till June. Don't get too excited. Our outreach is not till August. How many know our outreach is every minute? We're not promised another minute. Come on, someone. Neither is someone else. I told the story about young Ken that attended my church in New York and was always after a word from me. Just kind of guy that after church would kind of hang around and want to talk. And I remember this particular Sunday, I didn't particularly want to talk with him because I knew he was going to take a lot of my time and I had other things I needed to do. Next Sunday he wasn't there, and the next Sunday he wasn't there. I got a call from the police, local police, wanted me to come and identify a body. He had sat in his chair in an upstairs apartment, took a .22 rifle, set it against his chest, and pulled the trigger. Changing his mind at the last minute, he ran for the help. Fell down the steps and laid at the bottom of those steps for 2 weeks before his body was found. I often think about that when I think it is time for us to speak now, not later. We don't have any guarantees about later. Come on, someone. Say, this is heavy for a windy Sunday. It's where we live, folks. Where we live, if we're going to obtain God's promises and walk in His promises as mature Christians. This is what God has called us to leave the elementary principles. The Word says to leave the elementary principles about baptisms and repentance and all of those things. Come on, somebody. We don't need another lesson on baptisms. We don't need to hear another story about wise men and baskets. What we need is to take authority and obtain the God's promises for our generation. We're the most informed church that's ever walked on the face of the globe. We're the most informed church. Come on, I'm talking about the church in the world. Information is right at our fingertips. Anything we need to know is right there. If it were knowledge that would bring revival, if it were knowledge that would bring the move and the power of God, it would have already happened. But sadly, all we've done is maintained. To obtain is to go after the enemy and bind him. Whatsoever that bind on earth is bound in heaven, loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened to you. Nothing shall be impossible for you. Nothing. Individually. Locally, we have allowed the enemy to rock us to sleep. But individually, what will you do with what God has given you? I can't answer that for you. I'm not looking for an answer from you. But what will you do with what God has given you? He's given you life. He's given you new hope. He's given you your everything that you need to serve Him. We are set on a course that God has ordained. We have been trained for this day that we face. Know that we are called to occupy. We're called to occupy. Being seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus is not so that we get a better outlook. It's because we have the authority of God. Being seated on a throne brings great responsibility. A throne's not just a chair thrown somewhere. There can only be one throne. And you and I are seated in heavenly places with Christ. Matter of fact, the Bible says we were made to sit in heavenly places. Come on, somebody. In that great throne room, there's only three chairs. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Not millions of chairs. We are seated with the Godhead in authority. I don't care who you are, you have the authority. Call yourself mature. Call yourself holy. Call yourself anointed. Why? Because Jesus is holy. Why? Because Jesus is anointed and you are in Christ. Turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Luke 19, 11. Luke chapter 19, verse 11. Now, as they heard these things, he spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem, and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Therefore, he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Does that sound familiar? So it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in very little, have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, Master, here is your mina, which I have kept put away in a handkerchief. I've maintained, for I feared you, because you were an austere man. You collect what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, that my coming I might have collected it with interest? And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to him who has 10 minas. But they said to him, Master, he has 10 minas. And he said, for I say to you that to everyone who has will be given. From him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. My friend, what will you do with what God has given you? What will you do? It's only you can answer that. Rise to maturity or maintain. Both have consequences. It's up to you what you do. I know as for me and my house, we're obtaining. As for New Life Leadership, we're obtaining. The promises of God are yes. The promises of God are amen in Christ Jesus. Come on, someone. I'm asking you to join me in prayer. I'm asking you to pray with me. I know prayer meetings are not popular. So I think that we can pray. I'm not sure, but I think God hears our prayers in our home. I'm not sure. I think he has gathering places. Churches is the only place he hears prayer. But no, he hears prayer in our homes. So I'm asking you to pray and fast. I'm asking until the end of March. I'm asking you to pray Ephesians 1, 16 through 19 and Ephesians 3, 16 through 19. Until the end of March. You're going to want to write this stuff down, because I'm expecting in the next couple of weeks I'll be coming and asking you, how is it going? So if I see you ignoring me out in the lobby, I'll know.
What were they?
Ephesians 1, 16 through 19. And Ephesians 3, 16 through 19. Pray it over your family. Pray it over yourself. Pray it over the church. I'm asking also that you fast one day a week. You pick the day. I'm asking that you fast. Oh, Pastor, I can't do that. Grow up. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. From sunup to sundown, don't eat anything. It'll be all right. You'll make it. Watch until the sun goes down. As soon as it goes down, grab a candy bar or something. But fast and pray. Whatever day of the week that you can fast and pray. And what are you praying for? You're praying to break the bonds of wickedness in our generation. Beginning March the 12th, every Tuesday and Thursday morning at the courthouse, I'm going to be there at 6 a.m. I expect to see your smiling faces. We are going to walk around that courthouse and claim Fulton County for the Lord. We just finished a series called Circle Maker. And we are going to pray that God take Fulton County by storm. Every Tuesday and Thursday at 6 a.m. at the courthouse. And beginning April 7th, weather permitting, we're going to be walking this property around this 8 acres of property at 9 a.m. on Sundays. Come and join me as we walk and claim this property as holy ground for the Lord. Until it comes to pass. Come on, somebody. I'm asking you to pray over your home and your workplace. I'm asking you to get rid of everything that's not holy in your home. Grow up. Just because you stick it in a drawer under the bed doesn't mean God doesn't see it. Get rid of it. Be men and women of holiness. Authority is delegated power. Every believer has that power. If you're a believer, you've got the power and the authority of Almighty God. Turn to somebody and say, I'm pretty mighty. Come on. I'm mighty. I'm all right. I'm walking in the power of His might. You have the authority to do all things spiritual. Ephesians 1:18 says, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints. Never forget, I was in Jamaica visiting years ago, and the pastor there said someone had died, and they were living in a hovel, and when they went to prepare the body for burial, the equivalent to 10,000 American dollars were wrapped around the man's waist. He was living in a hovel, afraid that he'd have to spend that money. Never forgot that. God said, I've given you so many riches. I'm not talking about money. He's given us riches to walk in health, to walk in wisdom, to walk in revelation knowledge, to set the captives free. Come on, somebody. He's given us that availability. Don't leave it on the table. Don't leave it on the field. Spend everything God gives you. Spiritually, I'm talking about. Over there in Ephesians 2:4, but God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's a position you hold right now. You are seated on the throne with Christ. We are not seated there for a vantage point, but we're seated there to exercise the authority God has given us. Yeah. Something very personal that I'll share. I just went through a whole series of doctor visits. I don't like going to the doctor. How many men are with me? I don't like going to the doctor. And the devil was playing with me. You've got this, you've got that, you've got this problem. They're going to find out you got this, you're going to find out you got that. And I had to do warfare. I could barely sleep. Hours, I'd be awake. Couldn't even share it with my wife. Somewhere along that way, I said, man, I'm better than this. Christ has made me healthy and whole. I began to claim health and wholeness. Chase all sickness out of my body. If there was anything there, it was scared to stay. It was gone. I got a clean, as if I needed to, but I got a clean bill of health from a doctor. He said, how are you? With the last test I was at, he said, how are you? I said, I'm healthy as a horse. He said, your words, not mine. We need a throne mentality. Yeah. in the church. I rule and reign in this life with Jesus Christ. I'm not under anything. I'm over. I'm an overcomer. Come on, turn to somebody and say, you're an overcomer. Come on, say it like you mean it. You're an overcomer. On enough of this small living. Come on, enough of this apologetic stance that the church has taken. Oh, we're sorry. We're sorry, this is what the Word of God says. Shh, we just love you. You can live whatever life you want to live. No. Bunch of sissies.
That's right.
Stand up and declare God's Word. Not condemning anybody, you're condemning sin. That's what Christ came to do, is to condemn sin, not people.
Amen.
We need a throne mentality. The kingdoms of this world are under the authority of demonic principalities. But I say no more. It's time to dethrone them. Maybe you've allowed demons to rule your mind. Maybe you have habits you cannot break. And I'm telling you to get free. I'm telling you, I'm here 4 days a week, Tuesday through Friday. If you can't get free in your home, if you can't get free with your spouse, if you can't get free, come, we'll get you free. Let me lay hands on you either here in front or somewhere. I'll come to your house. I'll go anywhere you want to go, but get free and stay free. It's time to dethrone the enemy. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9 says, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen to me, church. We are declaring the manifold wisdom of God even to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. To the angelic hosts. They're waiting for directive from us. We are declaring God's authority in heaven so that the angelic hosts are going to come and stand around us. They're here this morning. The angelic hosts of heaven, the angel armies of God standing around us and declaring, now, no more delay. Now is a day of salvation. Now is a day of overcoming. Come on, somebody. Several books I'm asking that you get and read. If you can't afford to buy a book, come and I'll buy them for you. I don't suggest books a lot, but I'm suggesting this one. The Authority of the Believer by John A. McMillan. You can get it on Kindle or you could get it in paperback. But get it, read it. The Authority of the Believer by John McMillan. Then Kenneth Hagin's The Believer's Authority by Kenneth E. Hagin. Get this book. In fact, I may, after talking to my wife, I may just order a bunch of them. You can have them. You need to know your authority in Christ Jesus. No longer are we going to get kicked. We're going to be the ones that do the kicking. Come on, somebody. The third book I'm suggesting is The New Era of Glory by Tim Sheets. The New Era of Glory. I want to read just an excerpt from that before I close today. Here's what Tim says on page 169 under the chapter, No More Delay. It says, the Lord is saying to His church, you are now entering a season when the presence of God will surge among you. His glory will fill your sanctuaries. The weight of His presence is going to overwhelm hope deferred with wave after wave of His glorious presence. I will change things, says the Lord. I will change you from glory to glory to glory as my Holy Spirit fills you with outpourings of power, refreshing giftings and anointings to enable and release you to be who you really are. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ with ordained destiny. Remember, the angel swore that the enemies of God's people could not cause further delay, In other words, it was time. It is now the season for the accomplishment. It was a finish it season. It was a now do it season. The angel announced a stop to the waiting. Revelation chapter 10 and verse 6. And swore in the name of Him who lives forever and ever, who created the heavens and all they contain, and the earth and all that it contains, and the sea and all that it contains. He swore that no more time should intervene, and there should be no more waiting or delay. Reading from another version. He made a promise in the name of God who lives forever and who created heaven, earth, the sea, and every living creature. The angel said, you won't have to wait any longer. The angels are declaring it. Why? Because they're hearing it from the voices of Christians that are declaring in the heavenly places. The angels are declaring what they hear the saints saying. Peter said, it's what angels desire to look into. Our redemption. The angels don't have that authority. Listen, when you look into the heavens, when John looked into the heavens, he saw angels all around the throne worshiping God. None of them were sitting on the throne. Not one angel sitting on the throne. But when they look and see who's on the throne, they see you. And they're waiting for you to declare victory in your body. They're waiting for you to declare victory in your home. They're waiting for you to declare victory in your community, in your workplace, in your city, in your nation. They're waiting for the church to declare. The declaration can't be made at the footstool. The declaration can't be made around the throne. You'll hear no angels declaring victory. They only can carry out what our command is because we by authority have declared it. Listen to me. When the angels hear our declarations, they're sent and dispatched to do what was said could be done. They're not going to do it on their own. They're not going to declare it. They don't have the authority to declare it. Listen to me. The only one that was given that authority is you. You want victory in your life? Declare it. And watch all of heaven get behind it. Watch all of heaven dispatch angels. Watch the Holy Spirit rise up within you. Because you have spoke what you're hearing at the throne. We always say, well, we're seated in heavenly places, like as if we are in a narthex, some place in the room. No, we're seated on the throne, and we take the authority that God has ordained for us. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, as we declare this morning, wisdom and righteousness from you. We declare it with the authority that you've given us. And I speak to those who have questions right now. Can I do it? Can I overcome? I speak to that right now and I say, yes, you can. By the power and the authority of the living God. We thank you, God, for all your promises to us that are yes and that are amen in Christ. We thank you, God, that we are more than conquerors in your name. And God, we choose right now to go from maintenance to obtaining. Thank you, Lord, that you've taken care of everything else that we need. So we give that to you, Father. We now go after your kingdom with all the passion that you've deposited in us through the power of your Spirit. Give you all the glory and all the praise. And everyone said, amen. Amen.